changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Recently, my daughter and I were having a conversation, and we were coming at the same thing from two different perspectives. For those of you who are members, like, I know there are a number of you here with us right now, and those of you who will watch this later who are members of the Complaint Free Life Inner Circle, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m., we do a special talk for the members of the Complaint Free Life Inner Circle exclusively. And my daughter, Leah, is so steeped in, you know, what we talk about and what I teach, that she fills in for me, and I get tremendous comments about how great she does. So she did one Wednesday at 11 o'clock webinar, and I did the following one. And come to find out, we were talking about the same thing and coming at it from two different directions. And that is this concept of toxic positivity. Now, my take was that you really can't be too positive. And there's been a study that has been done recently that has shown that the normal things that people want to say to when someone is going through a tragedy in their life can actually make that person feel worse. We've heard people say this before, and now it's actually been studied and proven. And there is such a thing as toxic positivity. So I changed my mind basically once I began to fully understand this concept. And this is something that a lot of inspirational speakers are accused of. I've shared this concept before of toxic positivity, and I've said that really, honestly, the people whom I hear use it the most tend to be the people who shield themselves in negativity. They're the Eeyores in the world, and they love to jump on this and say, that's toxic positivity. In other words, anything that's inspirational and positive, focused on what is going well rather than what is going wrong, they consider to be toxic. Those of you who know my story of the complaint-free movement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that I was actually a minister at a small church. And prior to that, I went through 10 years of training. I had 2 years of college level Bible, et cetera, et cetera, lots and lots of home study courses. And when I got there, one of the things that we did was we had to go through a chaplaincy training program at hospitals, and we would go to different hospitals and we would actually be the chaplain going around. And there is such a temptation when people are going through a very difficult time to say things like, it'll all work out in the end. Here's one that I even knew was wrong. God has a plan. You know, this is the one that you'll often hear when you're with the family and they've just suffered a tragedy, and one of the distant relatives will say, well, God has a plan. And you can see people looking at them and you wonder why some people hate God. You know, I forget who I read it. It was some famous person. They had a puppy and the puppy died, and their grandparents said, oh, God has a plan. And they said, well, then that was it for God, for them. So it has been actually proven that saying these things like, it'll all work out, it's for the best, you'll be the better person for it, God has a plan, don't worry, be happy, all of these little band-aids on people's trauma, they have shown are truly toxic to that person. I don't mean they call it, you know, poison. What I mean is that in their hurting and trying to heal hearts, when we tell them these little plaudits to try and these little aphorisms, these little bromides, there we go. My attempt at synonyms this morning. When we do that, it does not make the people feel better. It makes them feel worse because it's trauma shaming. A person is in the middle of a trauma, and we are subtly shaming them because we're not allowing them to simply feel what human beings need to feel. I was guilty of this, and I have been guilty of this with my friends. When someone is going through a real challenge and you want to help them, you say, you know, buck up, it'll all work out great, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we do this because we don't really know what to say. And I'm going to type here the magic words. I'm going to type it right here. Now, this may sound like something a therapist would say, and it really kind of is. Here we go. What we want to say is, it makes sense you'd feel that way. It makes sense you'd feel that way. Have you noticed that some of the best therapists first ask you how you're feeling and when you tell them, and they want to know the circumstances surrounding you, and then they say, it makes sense you'd feel that way. This presupposes that the person has shared with you how they feel. They're sad, they're angry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is... some people might look at this and say that you're indulging their negative emotion. No, you're not. You're acknowledging their negative emotion. That's all you're doing, and you're creating a safe space for them to have that negative emotion. Emotions, feelings are not wrong. The problem we get into is when we try to make our feelings and emotions wrong. And that's what toxic positivity comes across as. Simply to say, you know, it makes sense that you'd feel that way, or anybody would feel that way. Some of the phrases, I was making notes here, I didn't bring the right journal in this with me this morning, but I've noticed that something that's similar too is just saying, if somebody's telling you something that's obviously upsetting to them, just saying, it's a drag. It's not getting totally into this, and this is not complaining. People sometimes are going through something very difficult and they need to share it, all right? Complaining is if they share it with you every single day with a how dare this happen to me tone of voice, or they share it with you and then go share it with somebody else just to get attention, et cetera. But if the person is really trying to process something, if they're really trying to process something, just acknowledging how this person feels and understanding how they feel. It's not about making them feel worse. It's also not about making them feel better. It's simply being in that space with the other person. I once heard a person say that love is simply being in the same space as another person. It's just being in that same space. Now, that's a bit esoteric and metaphysical, but it just simply means vibrating with that person where they are. And it doesn't mean that you have to get sad. That's another thing I've experienced too, is people who disproportionately take on the grief of family members, et cetera, or trauma that are farther removed than justifies their upsetness. And this, again, is an attempt to bond with the other person. Again, nothing wrong with that. It's just what people do. The more important, and I notice here Dave says, say it's a bummer, something like that. Yeah, drag, bummer, et cetera. The key thing is not to presuppose how the person feels. Somebody tells you, and this happens to me. I'll say... my flight got delayed for an hour. I'm making this up on the spot. My flight got delayed for an hour. Oh, man, that must have made you angry. Not at all. Flights get delayed. I would often rather have a flight delayed than not, because in most cases, they're trying to fix something, and I want to make sure the plane is in good condition. I took flying lessons for years, and you've got to make sure the plane is in good condition. Step number one. So, we don't want to presuppose what somebody is thinking or somebody is feeling. It's perfectly okay to say, how's it feeling? Or how do you feel? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we want to just say, I get it. I understand. There's another one that I think, more dominant. I saw it in some movies, is I feel you. When someone is talking about what's going on, I feel you. I get it. I understand. The I get it comes from Landmark Forum. That's one of the ways they say that it's best to relate to other people, is simply to say, man, I get it. When they tell you that something is upsetting to them. The other key thing that I really always want to bring this back to, and this is what I was thinking about this morning when I was having my coffee, is that we want to do this with ourselves. We want to do this with ourselves. As I said earlier, we don't get into trouble with our feelings. We get into trouble by compressing, denying, and saying we shouldn't have our feelings, or overindulging them and going, yeah, that's right, you know, so that we're surrounded by depression kitty. We want to simply acknowledge how we're feeling. I feel sad. Well, it makes sense you'd feel sad or whatever. One of the things that I've learned recently is it seems silly, but happiness needs to be prompted every bit as much as sadness. Here's what I mean. We think that if we take away all the negativity and all the lack and all the challenges in our lives, we'll just be happy all the time. Happiness is prompted. Like right now, I'm super happy. You know why? Because I'm flying out tomorrow to speak in Savannah, Georgia, and then I'm going to see my daughter for 2 days, and we're going to have an early Thanksgiving together. And I'm super happy about that. It's prompting. It's something to look forward to. And that's why we always need something to look forward to. The key when you're dealing with yourself and with other people who are struggling with something is to acknowledge the feelings and then to say to yourself and or the other person, it makes sense how you'd feel that way. Because the only way to move past a feeling is to be okay with it. And anger is perfectly okay. Feeling it, not demonstrating it, not directing it outward, feeling it inside, sitting down when you're angry and deciding I'm just going to feel angry for 2 minutes, setting a timer. It's amazing how it can help it dissipate through you.
No more complaining people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.